Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
The scripture this morning comes from Luke, the third chapter, the 15th through the 17th and the 21st through the 22nd verses. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The winnowing fork is in his hand, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to see you revealed this day. Wherever you may be covered, wherever we may not see you, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us today. If you seem to be far off, if you seem to not be in existence to any of us today, we pray that the blindness would be unrevealed. We pray, O Lord, that you would show us that you are with us and that you promise to be with us. May we depend upon your word and trust it, we ask it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel of Luke shares with us on this day of baptism of the Lord, one aspect of the baptism of the Lord, Luke's version. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John has a version of all of this. But Luke wants us to see a particular time in his writing of where Jesus came to be baptized. Luke, of course, was a physician. He went with the Apostle Paul, you will recall. Mark went with Simon Peter, but Luke went with the Apostle Paul. And, of course, the Apostle Paul was out to give ministry to the Gentiles. So Luke writes and hopes that the Gentiles will be drawn to that great light because God is a universal God, a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Luke writes and says to us, this is how God was revealed, and he begins to talk about that. He starts with the shepherd. You will remember the shepherds who was out on third shift. You'll remember that. And all of a sudden, the glory of hosts shows up and says, go. In the city of David, there is a Savior born for you, wrapped in swaddling clothes. So they go. They say, let's go see this thing that's been revealed to us. So they go. They see it. They tell everybody what's happened to confirm what Mary and Joseph already know. And then they go back praising the Lord. Then you'll recall after the shepherds, then the wise men come from the east. A star shows them where Jesus is, and they're there. They pay homage to the child, revealing who he is. There's another epiphany, another revelation. Then we see Jesus in the temple. There he is, sharing with the high priests and priests and civil spiritual people all the things that he knows about the scripture. So there he is, the mother and father, stepfather finds him there in the temple. And then we find Jesus there by the Jordan. Of course, there by the Jordan, John the Baptist is there. And of course, he's revealing to people how to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah. He has told the tax collectors to only collect what they're supposed to. He's told the soldiers to be careful about their authority and power. And he's told those people with two coats to share with those who have none. Here is Jesus now as he's being baptized. Notice that Luke's gospel says that John was arrested by Herod. Then it talks about Jesus' baptism. It says that when others were baptized and Jesus. Notice that in Luke, John isn't really said to baptize Jesus, though you and I know that he did. That's nothing that Luke wants us to really specify. What Luke wants us to see is that after Jesus was baptized, he's praying, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Now, in Luke's gospel, who's also the author of Acts, You will recall that those disciples were waiting, if you recall, when Jesus was going to come back with the Holy Spirit, and they were there praying. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So here we have Jesus praying, talking to the Father, and as he's talking to the Father, the Holy Spirit is poured up on him. John also revealed to Herod what he needed. Of course, if you've got power and you've got authority, you may not think you need anything. But John, he sort of had this idea that Jesus was going to come in and clean house. You know, I've always wondered if John the Baptist thought Jesus was another Clint Eastwood. You know, make my day. Make my day. You know, I think there's a lot of times, there's situations in this world which I wish Jesus would imitate Clint Eastwood. I wish there was a time when Jesus would point his .44 caliber and say, "This is a .44." Do you remember that movie? It starts out where this .44 Magnum revolver is pointed right at you. Did you see this movie? I mean, that barrel is up there on that. I mean, it looks huge. And he says, "If I were to shoot you from this, it would blow your head clean off." I remember that movie as a kid. Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry. Thank you very much, Diane. There's times that I wish Jesus would just force people to do what they're supposed to do. But you see, Jesus' force and his power and his strength is love. And you see, love needs a recipient and a willing spirit to cooperate. And not everyone that Jesus loves, including you and me, always are inspired to do what you and I are called to do. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I have been forced to do something, and I have been glad that I was forced to do it because it benefited me. But there have been other times when I've been forced to do something, brothers and sisters, that I really resented it. Really resented it. Because it wasn't me making the decision. It was someone else that I allowed to influence me to make the decision that needed to have trusted me to make the decision for myself. Jesus is one who calls us to follow him. He calls us to follow him. And he waits on mine and yours. And he stays at the door and he knocks. He knocks. And if you and I will open the door, he will come in. If we don't open the door, that doesn't mean that he stops knocking. But it may mean that you and I begin hearing that knock more faintly as the days go on. The more times you and I say no to Jesus, the less we may hear that knock on our hearts. I remember a little girl who went to the doctor, and the doctor was trying to get on her good side, and he put the stethoscope in her ears and put the stethoscope on his heart, and he said, "What do you hear?" And she said, "I hear Jesus knocking on your heart." Have you ever experienced Jesus knocking on your heart? Have you ever heard Jesus say to you, "Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you a rest"? Have you heard Jesus speak to you personally through the Holy Spirit, through your conscience, calling you to himself for relationship? He is. He does. He will. When you and I receive that calling and we say yes to him and we are baptized, that is our mark. That marks us. You see, you and I have not been baptized. Catch this. You and I aren't to say, "I have been baptized." You and I are to say, "We are baptized." Which means our baptizing doesn't go in remission. It is always ongoing. In our baptism, we continue to learn how to love and to forgive and to show mercy and to love God and to love brother and sister. Our baptism is that recognition that the Holy Spirit is in you and me and is alive and active. You and I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but there's been some weeks that I've just really messed up so bad that I don't know if I was wanting to come to church or not. Of course, Mary says you have to. You're the preacher. But there's been days, I don't know, in your life or my life, whenever maybe we just had a hard day. Maybe we weren't the best person in the world. And you know, we just maybe felt like we didn't deserve to go to church that Sunday. So we stayed home. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt, well, you know, I haven't really acted well this week, so I really don't deserve to go to church. Brothers and sisters, in some churches, you will see that the baptismal font is at the door. And when you walk in, there's water in it. And what you are invited to do is to touch the water and to remind yourself that you are the baptized. Which means this is the reason you and I can go to church regardless how the past week has been. You see, it's through Jesus Christ that you and I sit here today. None of us are good enough. None of us are evil enough not to be here. We are here because of grace. We are here because God has chosen to love you and me and to welcome you and me. You and I can think back over our lives, the things that we have done, maybe in this past week, and you know, we just may not always feel like that we are worthy. Hopefully that feeling enables us to be humble, and we come to God and we confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to wash them away. And then we show fruits of repentance by turning from the ways in which we have been living to other ways that are better. We're not perfect, but we keep practicing. We keep trying. Here Jesus is baptized. And His Father says to Him, "You are my boy. You are my boy." This is before Jesus ever preached the first sermon. Before He ever healed anybody. Before He ever did anything. God the Father said to His Son, "You are my boy, in whom I am well pleased." Well, God, what did Jesus do to make you so proud of Him? Well, God would say, you know, He's my boy. I'll hug Timothy sometimes and I'll say, "Son, I love you." And he'll say, "What for?" I said, "It ain't about what for. It's because you're my boy. God's entrusted you to me and your mama. And I just want you to know, Timothy, that I am so, so proud of you. How did we get so blessed to have a son like you? What have we ever done? We are so blessed to be your parents." I wonder how many times you and I need to hear those words from the Almighty God. In the book of Isaiah, while they are in Babylonia, while they're in Babylon, Isaiah writes to them and says to them, "God believes you are so precious and honored that He loves you." When is the last time you and I heard God say to you and me, "You are precious"? Now, I know that we oftentimes say that to children. We adults, we may not want to hear that said, but we're God's children. So God would say to you and me, "We're precious because we're His children." And that's how He feels about you and me, that He has honored, we are honored, and He loves us. And we might say, "What for? Why do you love us?" "Because I choose to love you," God would say. "Because I am love, and I want you to know that I love you." On America's Got Talent, there was a boy there who was singing, and Simon and all of them asked him some questions. They asked him who was with him, and he said, "Well, my mom's here, and my girlfriend's here, and my sisters are here, but my dad's not here. He works a lot, but he's always been everywhere I've ever been, but he's not here tonight." And his daddy stood up and he said, "I'm here." And the boy started crying. And they asked him why the tears. And he said, "Well, my dad is my biggest hero." He's always been wherever I've been. And He's always encouraged me. When I remember my dad and how he was proud of me, I remember something that my dad used to do for me at home that I will never, ever forget. Do you remember Nestle's Quick? Do you remember, is this still in the powder? Is it still in the powder? I remember Nestle's Quick. When I think of my daddy, I think of Nestle's Quick. Of course, I think food about a lot of things, but when I think of my dad, I think about Nestle's Quick because there would be times when Dad would fix him a glass of Nestle's Quick and he would say to me, "Randall, would you like me to make you a glass of Nestle's Quick?" And I would say, "Would you, Dad?" And he said, "I'd be happy to." And Dad could make the best glass of Nestle's Quick you have ever tasted in your life. I don't know how he could do it, but Mama could make it, my brother could make it, I could make it, but nobody could make it like my daddy could make it. There's a lot of people out here who will love you and will love you the best way they know how. But nobody will love you and me like our Heavenly Father. They don't exist. But one exists. And it's the Father. And I just want you all to know this morning, and I need to remind myself, that you and I are precious. And that God loves you and me. He has not come to condemn us. He's not come to shame us. He hasn't come to say, "Make my day." He has come to use the most powerful weapon that there is in the world. And that is love. May that inspire you and me to use that too. May we pray. We know, Lord, that we cannot love you and one another as we ought unless you enable us with your Spirit to love one another. So today we ask that your faith come down upon us and to reveal the things of God and just share with us, Lord, what we need to be able to do and to help us to do it, because we can't do it on our own strength. We need your inspiration. We need to remember that you love us because you will to. You forgive us because you will to. You show us mercy and grace because you will to do so. Help our will to will your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.